Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome, students, to this morning's program. I think we all know that we're gathered here in response and reaction to a extraordinarily challenging weekend that we all have been through with the tragedy that took place on Lag BaOmer in Meron. A tragedy that has hit many of us very personally, has hit our families very personally, has hit all of our schools, yeshivos and seminaries, and the larger Yeshiva University family very closely. And the purpose of our gathering this morning really is for us to come together as, in this particular context, as our YU family, as our seminary and yeshiva family, and to try to reflect and share with each other some opportunities for chizuk and for strength. It's interesting that a pasuk that we've been focused on quite extensively over the past year, when thinking about the priority that we need to ascribe to our physical well-being and our health over the course of the COVID year, has been the pasuk of "Nishmartim me'od l'nafshoseich," that we have to be very careful to guard our bodies, to guard our being. And the Rambam learns out from this pasuk the critical importance of making sure that we are safe, that we are healthy, and that we are well. But it's fascinating that the Torah does not use the word guf. The Torah does not use the word body to describe the human being. It uses the word nefesh. And the word nefesh encompasses not only the body, but the larger life force of the human being. What makes us who we are, our emotions, our personality, our strengths and weaknesses, our individuality. L'nefesh adam. We are each an individual. We are each reacting to the world and to our life experiences in very different ways. V'nishmartim me'od l'nafshoseich. And so it's critically important whenever we go through any experience in life that there is a priority of shmira. Shmira means to guard, to protect. We guard and protect something that's precious. And one of the things that is incredibly precious is our own well-being and our ability to be able to transcend experiences of tragedy and challenge and be able to build the resilience that's necessary for us to move forward. And to do that, all of us, from rabbis to psychologists, to Rosh Yeshiva, to Rabbeim, to Moros, to Mechanchim and Mechanchos, all of us need help. There isn't a single person in the Jewish world that over the course of the last weekend has not reached out to someone for support and for help. And so this morning's gathering is an opportunity for us to bring to you some of really the world-renowned experts in providing that support and that help to thousands of people around the world. Dr. Rona Novick, who is the Dean of the Azrieli Graduate School of Jewish Education and Administration, and Dr. Pelkovitz, who is a professor at the Azrieli Graduate School, are both well-known psychologists and individuals who really appreciate the inner nuance of the human personality. They appreciate the unique angle of both parents and children in the realm of dealing with challenging situations. And most of all, they know our community. They know us. They're part of our family. And so this morning, we're going to hear first from Dr. Novick some reflections that will help us get through this very challenging time. Then from Dr. Pelkovitz. And then I will wrap up the program with some general divrei chizuk for the other side of the nefesh, the more spiritual side of the nefesh as well. Dr. Novick.
Thank you, Rabbi Glasser. And thank you all for joining us. Of course, we all wish we were joining in Simcha, but these are also times we need to come together. And before, as Rabbi Glasser said, we can think about how we move forward, we have to just acknowledge where we are and give ourselves permission to be sad, to hurt, to feel all kinds of human experiences that right now are the normal reactions to an abnormal and terrible situation. We've all experienced a terrible loss, and to varying degrees, we've experienced a very powerful trauma. Keep in mind, by the way, that one does not have to be physically present to be traumatized by powerful and devastating events, that just hearing other people, seeing other people's reactions and responses, watching news reports can themselves also traumatize us. They can cause us to go back to places of pain and of loss. So I just want to spend a few minutes thinking together about what we're all experiencing and hopefully leaving you with the really powerful message that whatever you're feeling right now, it's okay and it's normal. It doesn't mean it feels good. In fact, it doesn't. You may, for example, have clear biological changes that you're experiencing. Your sleeping and your eating may not be the same as they were a week ago. It's a normal reaction to trauma. It's distressing, but it is not in any way indicative of a serious problem. Of course, Dr. Pelkovitz will talk about how we cope with trauma. And one of the things we have to do is take care of our biology and as best as possible, give it the rest and the nutrients that our bodies need. We may feel an array of emotions and we may feel them change and shift from moment to moment. We can feel not only sadness, but doubt and anger. We can feel guilt about our actions or lack of actions or something we could have or should have done that would have made the end result we think in our mind different. All of those feelings, again, are natural after an event like this, after such a terrible loss and a tragedy. And the other thing that we really need to keep in mind as we go through the next days and weeks and months is that trauma doesn't move and our response to it doesn't move in a steady, straight line. It's a little bit more like a roller coaster. And we will have ups and downs in the hours and the days and the weeks to come. And by the way, that's not only normal, but it's okay in the moments of up to feel a passing sense of guilt. How can I be happy in this moment when all of Klal Yisrael is experiencing such a loss? When families I knew, when Chevra I knew are experiencing a loss. But it's okay even to be happy in these moments. It's okay to feel sad. It's okay to have doubts, to ask hard questions. All of those things are fine as we find our way towards healing and towards strength. Realize also that not only will you have a roller coaster of ups and downs, but so will everyone around you. And your ups and downs will not be synchronously timed. And so you may be having a horrible day where you're overwhelmed by the loss and by grief, while everyone around you is celebratory. Again, hard, it's difficult to feel out of sync, but be patient with yourself and with others as you go through this difficult process. And as Dr. Pelkovitz will talk, will speak to, know that you don't need to do it alone. As Dr. Glasser already alluded to, know that asking for help, needing help, wanting help, and seeking help in times of trauma and crisis are actually a sign of strength and of health. I'll turn it over to Dr. Pelkovitz, but one last comment, and it's stealing a little bit his thunder, but when I talk about trauma, I always have to share the words that we hear every time we fly on an airplane. Some steward or stewardess reminds us that if there's a sudden loss of cabin pressure, oxygen masks will drop from above. Before helping those smaller or weaker than us, please affix your own mask before helping others. All of us so want to help not only ourselves, but the people next to us. But the first step is recognizing our own grief, and taking care of ourselves so that we can take care of others. It is my pleasure to turn the floor over to my incredible and esteemed colleague, Dr. David Pelkovitz.
Thank you so much for those warm words of wisdom, as always, Dr. Novick. I'm going to start by talking about In terms of the form, the part of coping that has to do with trying to understand a little bit what's behind what some of you might be going through. You know, the whole idea is that sometimes having a basic understanding is half the battle. It's called psychoeducation. It helps normalize, as we've been hearing, what you're going through. Right, the Baal Shem Tov said, "B'makom shemach shavto shel adam shem hu nimtza ha'ish." You want to know where the essence of the person is? Look at his or her thoughts. So let me start by giving a framework for understanding some of the feelings and behaviors and emotional experience you're going through. So first of all, one of the things that's very, very common is to have intrusive thoughts, is to have unbidden all kinds of thoughts coming into your head. They may be replaying images of certain things you might have seen on media. It may be replaying images of what you saw if you were actually there, or what you saw in terms of the aftermath, what you saw in terms of attending a levaya. Just to give a bit of a framework for that is that after any traumatic experience, people tend to feel very scared and on edge. When anybody goes through this kind of shattering event, you've learned, at least for now, that we really are living on that narrow bridge. And you learn that things around you can be harmful. And the most normal thing in the world is to be on the lookout for other things that might hurt you again. It's totally understandable to have upsetting memories and dreams, at least in the short term. Doesn't mean it's going to last forever. But at least for now, that's just your mind's way of processing the trauma. It's actually an actively good thing. We've been created in a way that when something like this happens, Kadosh Baruch Hu's built into us a mechanism for repeatedly playing things over in our mind, keeping us thinking about the traumatic event, so that we automatically, without having to do it consciously, are processing and resolving it at the most basic kind of level. So that's in terms of intrusive thoughts. How about avoidance? Very common on the behavioral channel to start to avoid all thoughts and reminders of the trauma at certain times, as Dr. Novick just explained. So people often do this because thinking about it is so distressing that it just seems better to put it all aside. Some of you will do that quite a bit. Some of you may not. Anything you do is fine. There isn't anything you could do or think or experience that doesn't fall in the category of normal reaction to an abnormal situation. And when you avoid like that, it might make you feel better for a moment, and it can prevent you from initially feeling a sense of calm, which is actually not a bad thing. What Chazal teach us, Ein Adam Omed Al Divrei Torah Elim Kein Nichshol Behem. We don't master much in life without struggle, okay? So the bottom line here is that if you feel emotionally flat or detached from things, or as I often hear in situations like this, if you're having problem crying or problem feeling the same intensity that some of the people in your pod are feeling, or some of the people in the general community are feeling, please don't judge yourself based on that. If everything is seeming strange or dreamlike, this is happening because you're distancing yourself from what happened, which is what your heart and soul and mind is telling you what you need to do. And again, that's all part of the refuah, okay, of the refuah sanefesh. Okay, so doing this reduces the distress in the short term, okay? But over time, by connecting to others and gradually allowing yourself to have that connection, that's gonna be the key. There's an image I often have. in terms of those of you who, might be in places like Shalvim, where on Shuos, as the guys walk up, as men and women walk up that walk from Emek Ayalon going up to the Kotel. People always tell me it's a very, very tough walk to do alone. And people often plan, from what I hear, at least it used to be this way, I'm assuming it still is this way, they plan on having walking partners to share Divrei Torah, to share whatever, just to keep yourself going. And the research shows that if you have two people at the bottom of the hill and you ask them to estimate the steepness of the hill, if you're alone, you see the hill as very steep. If you have somebody at your side, the hill looks less steep. The closer you are to the person at your side, the less steep the hill looks and the less tired you get walking up the hill. It's very difficult to deal with this completely alone. Some of you are going to have a normal kind of need to pull into yourself, and that's fine. As long as you keep your eye on the ball, as Chazal tell us, as it says in Mishlei, Be'en Chazon Yifara'am, without that vision thing, it's very hard to hold on to yourself. But by doing it together, you're going to feel a sense of hope that's very hard to come by without that kind of connection. What are some of the common questions I've been hearing since the tragedies happened? Questions I've been hearing from parents and from various calls I've been getting from some of you. And one of the most common questions I'm hearing is, what are the long-term implications? Will I ever feel normal again? And I just want to reassure you that resilience is the norm. There's nothing quite as important as understanding that this is pretty much this intensity where you feel literally at times that you're crawling out of your skin with anxiety and with fear and with being upset or not, whatever it is. I could just tell you from many other situations I've dealt with after a terror attack, after a tragedy, after a natural disaster, people find that over time, things may not be the same. You may not want things to be the same. You may want to have a different sense of the sanctity of life and a different sense of having grown through this tragedy. But the important thing to realize is that over time, resilience is the norm. Resilience doesn't mean it hasn't impacted on you. Resilience means that you're able to embrace the impact over time. It's going to take time to be able to do this and to see the inherent growth that will come with this. Next point I wanted to make is a little bit about tears, because I've been hearing this a lot also. Some people have been crying nonstop. Others have not been able to cry at all. And I'll just say that both ways of going are equally fine, are equally valid. Tears, if I took tears that you have from an allergy and put them under a microscope, those tears under the microscope are going to just be salt and water. But if I take emotional tears or tears of grief or tears of loss, such as what many of us have been shedding, given the unbelievable kinds of experiences that you've all been through since this all happened, it's going to look different. Those tears will have a chemical mix that includes cortisol and other kind of biochemical markers of stress. So you're literally releasing stress hormones. Chazal tell us, agra de hespeda yalula. What's the reward of giving somebody a hesped? What's the reward of tears of silence? And it's the wailing. It's the tears themselves are part of the refuah. Interestingly, after the Yom Kippur War, a group of researchers followed families who lost fathers and husbands and sons in the Yom Kippur War. And they followed them for quite some time. And they found something fascinating. They found that those who were most resilient over time were those who gave family members the ishur and the permission and the okay to express sadness, even in times of simcha, and to feel totally comfortable doing that. Now, again, very often in situations like this, it may take quite some time till you're at that point. And it's fine. It's fine. For the next couple of months, for sure, that's going to be fine. What I'm amazed by is the quality of mental health support that's available through, unfortunately, Eretz Yisrael having developed the world's leading experts on dealing with situations like this. And, you know, you're going to be given materials that you could avail yourself of. You already have been given materials on how to find people who specialize in. I know many of you have already been talking to such people. Okay. And I'll just end with a thought and a story. The first thought is the importance of chesed. You know, and the importance, in addition to the importance of connection, the importance of chesed and the importance of hope. Olam chesed yibana. What every single experience I've had in these kinds of horrific situations has taught me, and what the research has taught me, what my colleagues have taught me, and what the people I've been working with over the years have taught me, is there's nothing as powerful as, to the extent that you have the energy to do it, reaching out and helping others. Chesed, going from a focus on being alone with your sadness, which is completely fine, but over time, figuring out a way to help others. And I'm not talking about fancy help. I'm talking about just by asking a friend in your pod, how you doing? How are you doing? Something as simple as a how are you doing, an arm around the shoulder, is incredibly, incredibly important and is just as therapeutic for you as it is for others. And then finally, it's the issue of hope, very hard to see at a time like this. But I'll remind you something that I'm sure you've been hearing from many people is the power of hope, the power of tikva. The Hebrew word tikva means a cord or a rope. A cord or a rope, that we're never alone, twisting at the wind, at the mercy of the current. We're always connected to ourselves, in our Ben Adam La'atzmo, to our parents, to our family, and to our Rebbeim, and to our friends, in terms of the Ben Adam L'chavero, and to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in terms of the Ben Adam L'makom. And in terms of being able to hold on to that hope, and a certain level of optimism with time, that's ultimately what will bring us to a place of ultimately, Amir Tzashem, there being a complete refuas hanefesh and refuas haguf for all of us. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Dr. Pelkovitz. I just want to conclude today's program with some general thoughts. I know how challenging it is. So many of us on this call today find ourselves in the Batei Medrash of Eretz Yisrael, sitting and learning for the year. And if there's one thing that we've been encouraging all of you to do all year long, it's to ask questions. It's to ask a great kasha on a Tosis, a great kasha on a Gemara, a great kasha in Tanakh. It's to ask questions and to also summon your own capacities to provide answers, provide approaches, provide chidushim. This is the world of Talmud Torah. This is why we came to Eretz Yisrael for the year, to debate, to ask, to question, to struggle, to understand, to plumb the depths of our Mesorah. And suddenly we find ourselves in one of the most complex and challenging sugyas that exist in life. And we're told that even to ask the questions, there certainly are no clear answers. And that's hard. That's hard for us who have been trained and who have been encouraged and who have been inspired to ask and to wonder. It's hard. And so I want to reflect on a dimension of the experience that perhaps expresses the way in which we've all been brought together in that challenge and in that difficulty which we find ourselves at this very moment. The Gemara in Yevamos tells us that if someone wants to join the Jewish people, we have a nation, we have a people, and we have a policy. We do not proselytize. We do not go out into the world and try to convince people to become Jews. But if someone wants to join the Jewish people, says the Gemara in Yevamos, they come to any Beis Din, they come to any Rav, and they say, I want to convert, I want to join Am Yisrael. So what's the response? So the Gemara says, the response you're supposed to tell them is, really? You want to join the Jewish people? You know how hard it is to be part of the Jewish people? We're a difficult people with a difficult history. There's so much anti-Semitism. There's so much challenge. There's so much tragedy. Look at Jewish history. This is what you want to sign up for. This is what you want to be a part of. And if they are still insistent that they want to move forward, says the Gemara, so then we begin to teach them Torah and Mitzvos. Asks of Soloveitchik a very simple question. This is how you market Klal Yisrael. This is a Kiddush Hashem. This is the world of the Mamleches Kohanim. You tell anyone that wants to become part of our nation, that feels inspired and uplifted by our values and our ideals, by our peoplehood, you tell them that we just want to let you know it's really awful. There are really low moments. There are really moments of great consternation and great pain and great challenge. Says Rav Soloveitchik, we have to understand that there are two dimensions of our Judaism, of what makes us Jews, of our Jewish identity. And they are both expressed in a pasuk in Rus that we're going to read very shortly on the Chag of Shavuos. When Rus wants to convert, she tells Naomi. She tells her, first of all, Elokayich Elokai. I want your God to be my God, says Rav Soloveitchik. That refers to Torah and Mitzvos. That refers to the ambition and aspiration to embrace every aspect of what it means to be a practicing Jew. Every word of Torah that you are learning this year, every effort that you are expending to expand and enhance your Shmiras HaMitzvos, your Yiras Shamayim, Elokayich Elokai. I want to be part of that world of meaning and purpose. But says Rav Soloveitchik, if that's all you want, it's not enough. Because there's another part of being a Jew. And the other part of being a Jew expresses itself in Rus's other statement. And that is, she tells Naomi, Amech Ami. I also want to be part of your people. I want to be part of your story. To be part of Am Yisrael means that you're not just ready to commit to all of the expectations of Torah. It means you're part of the family. It means you're part of this story. And this story has moments of great victory. In a few days, we're going to celebrate Yom Yerushalayim. The story has moments of great and incredible inspiration. Chag Shavuos, Zman Matan Torah Seinu, Yitzias Mitzrayim, Chanukah, Purim. But the story also has moments of this past year's Lag BaOmer. The story has moments of Tisha B'Av. The story has the context within which these words are uttered. The death of Naomi's children. The story has moments of victory and the story has moments of pain. And if you want to be part of Am Yisrael, it has to be Elokayach Elokai, but also Amech Ami. And that is part of what brings us together as a people. It's part of why all of us on this call and all of us who managed to watch the 30,000 plus people to watch the Levaya yesterday, all felt through a computer screen, all felt like one people. We all felt such a moment of Amech Ami. We all felt such a moment of connection that our story is your story. Your story is our story. You know, when we were younger, so we had a child who was very sick in the hospital. And I remember that one day, a couple of Satmar Hasidim girls came to visit in the hospital. And they sat down and they stayed for 3.5 hours. And we were schmoozing and back and forth. Where are you from? Where do you live? What do you do? Where do you go to school? And when they left, the nurses turned to us and they said, wow, you know, how long have you known those people? You know, your friends, like, And we looked at them like, we've never met them before in our life. They're like, what do you mean you never met them before in your life? It sounded like you knew them forever. And I said, we did know them forever, but we've never met them before in our life, because Amech Ami, our story is their story, and their story is our story. You know that learning in a year of in Israel is usually mostly focused on an experience of Elokayach Elokai. You come back and you're on fire. You're on fire with learning. You're on fire with Shmiras HaMitzvos. You're on fire with Yerushamayim. You're on fire with Tefillah. You fill our shuls. You fill our schools. You fill our yeshivas with such an energy and a palpable reflection and an expansion of spirituality of Eretz Yisrael. It's unbelievable. You raise the whole community up wherever you go. Elokayach Elokai. But this year is a different year, because you're not just coming back with Elokayach Elokai. You're coming back with Amech Ami. You're coming back with a sensitivity to what it means to be part of the Jewish people, a sensitivity to what it means to feel the pain of the Jewish people, to feel the connection of the Jewish people, to feel what it means to be part of Am Yisrael. And that sensitivity is needed so much because we live in a generation where we're doing a great job on Elokayach Elokai. We got more people learning all over the world than ever in Jewish history. We have a higher level of chumras and shmiras hamitzvos than we've ever had. We're doing a great job, Elokayach Elokai. We can always do better. We can always do more. But it's going pretty well. But you know where we need a lot of help? Amech Ami. We need help talking to each other. We need help being with each other. We need help that when we disagree with each other, we feel like we're one people. And we need you. We need you as you come out of this year, a year that has been so challenging on so many levels, a year where we are so proud of every word of Torah you've learned, every step in Yerushalayim and Eretz Yisrael you've taken, every tiyul, every hill you've climbed, every experience you've had where you have found the strength, even with all the restrictions and all the challenges, and none of the parents coming to visit you and take you out to dinner, that you've managed to create such a sense of growth. And now for the year to draw to a conclusion with such an overwhelming tragedy and pain. What it does do for us, I don't know the answers, and we have to listen to the experts of how to work on our nefesh so that we can be healthy. But I know this, that you feel a connection to Am Yisrael, that you feel a connection to a boy that many of you have never met and many of you have never encountered, that you feel a connection of pain to others that desperately needs to become part of the Jewish people and of our Jewish community. So whether you're staying in Eretz Yisrael, which I hope you do, or whether you're going to another, back to a community in the Gola, bring with you that energy of Elokayach Elokai, but also bring to us that sensitivity, that nosei be'olim chaveiro, that motivation for chesed that Dr. Pelkovitz talked about, that ability to reach out and help to others and to feel each other, because that so needs to become a dominating and defining aspect of our people, so that we could ultimately realize the geula, the redemption of the Jewish people, because that is the key, not just Elokayach Elokai, but Amech Ami. And so we wish all of you an amazing Shavuos. We wish all of you an incredible conclusion of your year. We know it's hard. We love you. We're proud of you and everything you're accomplishing. And Be'ezus Hashem, we look forward to the leadership that all of your experiences are going to bring to the larger Am Yisrael, to the larger Jewish people. And Be'ezus Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will send us a sense of redemption, a sense of healing in all aspects of the word, a sense of nechama, and a sense of geula. Have a wonderful and incredible day.